number 17. Revelation chapter 2, begin reading in verse 12, and read down through verse number 17. The word of the Lord says, "And the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, and even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else." You could just about stop right there, couldn't you? "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear to hear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. I have preached from this passage of Scripture on numerous occasions. We've talked about and preached on the hidden manna. We have preached on the white stone. I've preached on the church at Pergamos. And certainly have preached on all of these churches. This is the time when John the Revelator has been exiled to the Isle of Patmos after a failed execution attempt in which he was boiled in a pot of oil and it did not kill him. Under Roman law, he could not be executed twice. And therefore, they exiled him to the island of Patmos. And there, my friend, in fetters and chains, this man, nearly blind, began to get a vision from the Lord. In Revelation 1 and 10, he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Good things will begin to happen when you get in the Spirit of God on the Lord's day. And he begins to see a vision, and he sees God, the Lord Jesus Himself, if you will, walking amongst the seven golden candlesticks. These candlesticks each represent the seven churches of Asia. Each of these seven churches of Asia, then, that he writes this letter to, represents unto us seven types of churches and also seven different church ages. And there's so much more to that than I could ever preach in one sermon. It took me 12 weeks on Sunday night to get through these seven churches when I was pastoring at Union Hill back in 1993 or 94. And so there's no way I can get through them all here in 15 or 20 minutes that we have remaining this morning. But I want to concentrate on this church at Pergamos. And particularly, I'm interested in a few things here. I want you to notice in verse number 13, Jesus told them, "I know thy works." Every one of these churches, every single one of them, He told them, "I know thy works." I want to say this morning, He knows your works today, and He knows mine, and He knows what we are, He knows who we are, and He knows what we're doing. He knows when you do wrong and you're meant to do right. He also knows when others think you're doing right and you're really doing wrong. Amen. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows your works. He said, "You've been steadfast in the midst of an evil environment." In verses 14 and 15, he says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against thee." He says that they had tolerated corrupt doctrines and practices to enter into the house of God. In verse number 16, he warns them, "Repent or else." Repent or else. It's the same message we're supposed to be preaching today. Repent or else. I'm telling you, it's still repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent or else. Jesus said in Luke 13 and 3, in Luke 13 and 5, "Repent, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." It's repent or perish. It's repent or else. Amen. And then in verse number 17, he gave a blessing or a promise to the overcomers. He said, if you'll overcome this evil environment, if you'll repent and overcome the false doctrine and the great persecution that you're facing, I'll give you hidden manna. In other words, I'll give you bread that the world knows not of. Amen. Woo!
Praise His high holy name. He said, I'll give you a white stone. That's our property deed to the glorious world. And I'll give you a new name written upon the stone which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. In other words, it'll be yours. I've got a place for you. I've got a deed with your name on it. And it'll be etched in stone when you're an overcomer. Amen. Well, it can never be taken away again on that blessed, glorious day. I'm particularly interested, though, this morning in a phrase in verse number 13. Verse 13 said, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. At the end of the verse, he makes the phrase, where Satan dwelleth. I'm interested this morning in this phrase, Satan's seat, even where Satan's seat is. And this is all I want to preach this morning on the Satan's seat. I want you to notice a few things about this seat. And this is not a little lady, so that'll help some of you. After they tell me every message you preach, all the points start with the same letter. And they don't this morning, so maybe it'll help you to stay with us. And friend, I want to say, first of all, Satan's seat was among the brethren. Amen. Satan's seat was among the brethren. He did not write this to the president of the city of Pergamos. Amen. He didn't write it to the mayor or the city council. He wrote this to the church of Pergamos, and particularly to the angel or the messenger, if you will, the pastor of the church at Pergamos. And he said, I know thy works, and I know where Satan's seat is. I wonder which pew he's sitting on this morning. Amen. Hey, I wonder which seat is Satan's seat. Brother John used to sit there, and now he's moved here. I wonder, did he give his seat to the devil? Where is Satan sitting at this morning? Where is his seat? I want to tell you, his seat is amongst the brethren. Down the book of Job in chapter number 1, in the verse number 6, the Bible says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. In chapter number 2 of Job, and verse number 1 said again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also to present himself before the Lord. He said, when the sons of God met in the presence of God, Satan was also there with him. Now I understand that these phrases, sons of God, as used in the book of Job, represents the angels of the Lord. But the principle is the same. Where it is that God's people or His creatures gather in His midst, the devil will seek a seat among them. Amen. Hey, friend, and he's a seeker of seat here this morning. Amen. That's right. He is present. I mean, if you think we're going to have me without the devil, you're sadly mistaken. He'll see to it that he's here trying to make a mess of things. Amen. He's not. You ain't going to get saved and serve God. And the devil sit back somewhere and say, throw his hands and say, man, ain't nothing I can do about it. I guess they just don't serve the Lord. I guess I better well just give up. He's not going to do that. He's going to fight you. He's going to wrestle you. He's going to oppose you. He's going to stand against you. He's going to withstand your members. He'll be in the midst of the brethren.
We come together for church. The devil's going to see to it he's here in the midst. He'll not simply relinquish control of your life and just allow you to follow God unfettered. He's more faithful to church. I want to say this. The devil's more faithful to church than any church member we've got. Amen. The devil's more faithful to church than any church member anybody's got. He's going to see to it that he's here to make a mess of
place. He's a roaming about to and fro throughout the earth, a seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Matter of fact, in Job 1, when it was he appeared with the sons of God, and the Lord asked him, "What you been doing?" That's what he said. "I've been going to and fro, a seeking whom I may devour." And I'm going to tell you, he's been doing the same thing. And he showed up at Truth Church this morning to deal with you and to deal with me. And he may be sitting on the pew beside you. That may be where his seat is. He crawled up in somebody's lap already. That's sitting on your shoulder, whispering in your ear, causing doubt in your heart. Hey, distracting you from this meeting. I'm trying to get your mind on other things. Make you think about your beefroats. You got to go into the club part of the house. What a ball game you're going to watch. Or the tramp you're going to take. Or something other else. Oh, but God help us. To get our focus this morning on God. And turn away from Him. Don't give Him a seat in the midst.
Amen. I want to tell you, just because every seat might get full don't mean there ain't place for the devil to sit down. Amen. Hey, now listen, I'm not going to be absent, give him my seat. But you could fill every seat in the house and he'd still find a place to sit down in somebody's lap. Amen. They would entertain him and he will be present. You mark her down. I mean, you might have a meeting without me and you, but you'll not have a meeting without the devil because he's going to show up. Amen. That's right. Now listen, hey, friend, he has a presence here and he'll fight to destroy all that he can. Now this seat that's missing here, where he said, "I know where you work, even where Satan's seat is." This word seat is the same word that is mentioned as throne in the scriptures. The same word that seat is the same word throne. In other words, it's a seat of power. It's a seat of authority. It's a seat of strength. And the devil, friend, is not only here. He's not just here to watch the show. He's here to take it over. Amen. He'd love to have a position of power in the church. He'd love to have a position of authority in the church. He'd love to grab hold of the church with a stranglehold and take control of the church. I want to tell you something. The devil ain't having to work too hard in the world no more. Did you understand that? I mean, we're doing most of his work for him. The world's just doing his bidding. And he ain't got to try too hard to get people in the world to go his route no more. What he's done turned his focus to, he's not got to pay attention to Skid Row. The dope's got him. He ain't got to pay attention to the honky-tonks. The liquor's got him. He ain't got to pay attention to the whorehouses. The lust has got them. But what he's paying attention to and turn his focus to is to get a seat of authority in the church. Amen. And he don't want to just control the food source and honky-tonks. He wants to run the church. Amen. And we better not give him a seat of authority within the church.
Is that right?
What happened? Hey, did the devil enter into some strange fellow? My friend is sitting out there on the sea, the side of the Sea of Galilee, as they're trying to pull in fishes and such as that. Whoa, no, when it comes time to attack the Lord Jesus, what'd he do? Then Satan entered into Judas. He got in one of the 12, buddy. He got into one of the 12 closest to Christ. He entered into the church, the innermost circle of Christ's disciples. I'm telling you, one of the 12 apostles. He entered into the church and through it, my friend. That's how he reached heaven. And he'll try to get in you and get in me and use us to be an instrument of him to destroy the church and to tear down the church. I'll tell you where Satan's seat is. It's among the brethren.
Right in the midst of things. You may not be wanting to participate in everything, but he is.
It's hard to get some folks to participate, but it feels like the devil, they want to be in the middle of everything. Ain't that right?
Some folks, my friend, you couldn't drag them into a worship service to glorify the Lord when God gets really moving. But buddy, when there's going to be a business meeting, they're going to be in the middle of it. You know what that is? That's somebody that's got the devil using them for a seat. That's what they are. Amen. 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 Oh, it's ungodly. That shows no testimony, no power of God. Satan's made his seat, his abode, his place of power in their lives. They're interested in running everything. They're interested in operating everything. They're interested in moderating all the meetings and all this stuff. But they wouldn't know God if he was to walk in the back door with a name tag on. Amen. Oh, God, help us to turn into God and not give Satan a seat. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place unto the devil. Some of us have allowed him to take up room and abode in our lives and in our beings and in our relationship with God. Satan's seat is amongst the brethren. It's among the brethren. It's among the brethren. Oh, God, help us now this morning. It's going to get worse than this, so you stay with me now. I'm going to try to teach you something about how the devil operates. Amen. I'm going to try to warn you about how he operates in our midst. His seat is amongst the brethren. I want to say secondly, his seat or his throne, his seat of power, if you will, from which he operates is a place where he pressures God's people. Amen. It's a place where he puts pressure on the people of God. Verse number 13, he said, even where Satan's seat is, the next phrase, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Even when in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, he said, thou holdest fast my name. Apparently from the seat of Satan came forth power and influence to pressure the people of God to get them to rebel against the things that they knew were right, and they knew were true, and they knew were holy, and the devil pressured them to rebel against those things and to go another route. Did you know that's exactly what he's doing? From his seat today, he's putting pressure on. He's pressuring folks. He's pressuring the church. He's pressuring believers. He's pressuring preachers. He's pressuring my friend. Fundamental Bible of my friend studies and readers. He's doing everything he can to get them to give in, give up, give up. Compromise, let up. All the pressure's on. We are in a pressure cooker society. And the pressure is on. Oh, God, help us to hold fast his name. Not deny the faith. Or stand for what's right. Keep on and keep it on. Stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Let God be true in every man alive. Oh, God, give us strength to stand. In the midst of pressure, in the midst of pressure, he'll press us to compromise, to cower, and to cave into his whims. But we must hold fast his name. We must not deny the faith and the truths taught therein. I mean, he'll press. You know how he'll do it? The devil don't come in blowing loose with dynamite. That's what my papa calls it, dynamite. He doesn't come loose to blow everything loose with dynamite. He comes in, my friend, incrementally, bite by bite, little by little. Somebody said, could you eat an elephant? Sure I could. One bite at a time. Amen. And that's the way the devil operates. He just goes little by little by little. And today, as soon as he gets you to give up an inch, he'll take that inch and you'll never get it back again. When you give up another inch, he'll take that inch and you'll never get it back again. Next thing you know, you'll not know that you've given up much territory. Just an inch or two at a time. You'll turn around twice and there won't be nothing left. Because he'll take control of it all incrementally. He'll take over the church. If we allow him to operate in that fashion. Ain't that right? Amen. Incrementally, he'll take over your life. Incrementally, he'll take over the Christian. Incrementally, he'll take over the home. It'll begin with the things that you ought not to be looking at on the TV and the boob tube. It'll begin with a lewd website on the internet. It'll begin with a song with music just a little bit far out of the church house. It'll begin with a new translation of scriptures that's closer than the rest of them are to what we're accustomed to.
And just little by little, inch by inch, mile by mile, He'll take everything you've got. He'll start by embarrassing you to raise your hand and praise God. He'll start by talking you into thinking if you sound like Brother Andy does, you'll scare the young'uns. How long did God, my young'uns, and hear enough of that kind of sound? How long the way that it don't scare them? But rather, my friend, to say, learn to hear that as a blessed, sweet sound. He'll quieten your shout. He'll stop your hands from raising. He'll, my friend, dry up your tears. He'll silence your song. Next thing you know, you won't know what real worship is, no how, and you'll accept just about anything walks in the door.
Right.
Little by little, the acorn said. How does the poem go? It slowly sank into its mossy bed. You ever heard the poem about the acorn? How does the acorn become an oak tree? Just little by little, that's how.
Right.
It's just an acorn. Sinks beneath the ground. Begins to sprout and grow limbs. Over a course of 25, 30, 40, 50, 60, maybe even up to 100 years, it becomes a mighty oak.
Yes.
In your lives, those little things just begin little by little by little. And He'll take over if you ain't careful. He'll take over. Brother Eddie looked down at Brother William the other day, standing in the back, and he said to William, pointed at Levi, and he said, "Do you believe I used to be that size?" William looked down, he looked up, he looked side to side, he looked back up, Brother Eddie, and he said, "Nope." Amen. I mean, friend, it just don't seem like it. And friend, we look at things in the church sometimes that are small, and sometimes we think that preacher's just going overboard, and it ain't that big a deal. It's just a little thing. It's not a big thing, preacher. It's a little thing. Brother Eddie was a little baby one time, but he ain't no more. And our oak tree was an acorn one time, but it's not anymore. I can tell you, these things will fester. They will grow. And little by little by little by little, as Satan will extrude power and extrude power from his seat until he takes everything you've got.
So
he takes everything you've got, the way that a snake, an old python, out in the Amazon kills his prey. He comes upon them, my friend, while they're asleep, and he eases his way around them in such a manner that they can hardly feel his touch, and never even rouse up from their sleep. And every time they take a breath and blow it out, he constricts around their lungs and around their breathing organisms, and that they're not able to take as deep a breath the next time. When they blow that breath out, he times a little more, and a little more, and a little more, until they cannot take another breath, and they suffocate and die. And then, my friend, he begins to devour them, little by little, till he swallows them whole. There's the powerful that not long ago, there was a snake, I believe it's 12 feet long, ate a 6-foot alligator, has swallowed the alligator whole. I'll tell you, the devil will destroy things that you think he cannot. He is the old serpent, and he'll exude his power, his authority. You better not give him one inch, or he'll take everything you've got for us over with.
Take everything you've got.
He'll press to incrementally take control. How do you combat that? You don't compromise. Once you begin compromise, you start down a slippery slope. Eventually, you'll drive off a cliff. Ain't that right? Am I preaching right? Some of you used to go to churches where they did that. And my friend, you used to go to some places where back 10 years ago they had the power of God. 15 years ago they worshiped the Lord. 5 years ago they worshiped God. And my friend, you looked and saw a slippery slope. And you eased out the door and let them drive off the cliff by themselves. And today some of those churches are such a cesspool of sin. They don't know nothing about God, the church, or the Bible. They don't know anything about old time power anymore. They just compromised and last sold everything. You'd have never dreamed it 20 years past. I tell you, it didn't happen overnight. It's little by little by little by little.
That preacher didn't just wake up one morning, one preacher up the road or down the road in this big town or that town, and jump up one morning and say, you know what? I'm going to leave my wife, find me another woman, go into the gutter and get drunk and get on dope. But little by little by little, Satan came in his life, and my friend destroyed him. And many of the men of God sat by the wayside with their homes destroyed and their lives wrecked because of the incrementalism that's protruded forth from Satan's seat amongst the brethren.
Am I preaching right? I'm preaching right. Number three, those who would not change, he sought to destroy. He said, this was true, and you've held fast to my name and have not denied my faith, even in the days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Those who are servants from God, or servants rather of the devil, commanded from Satan's seat of power in Pergamos, had slain Antipas for standing for what was right. They killed him. There's a time pressed in the day where men of God are under greater pressure than we've ever been under in my lifetime to change and to compromise. And I believe there's a time coming, friend, where those who will not are marginalized. Matter of fact, we've seen it where they're marginalized already. I fear the day is not far away when they may be criminalized. The preaching against homosexuality be classified as hate speech as already is in Canada. They classified as hate speech, and you'll be arrested for it. It's already happening on the other side of the Canadian border. It's already happening. In Kentucky, they require that men get a license from the state in order to be able to preach publicly without being in trouble. They say this is so they can track their revenue because of abuses by jackleg preachers of the Internal Revenue System. You wait and see what the devil will do with it. He'll use it to monitor their preaching before it's all said and done. Oh, you're a conspiracy fellow. You're nuts. What you are, preacher. You think whatever you want to. I mean, you give the devil an inch, he will take your smile. Amen? You can't play with him. You can't play with the devil. You can't play with a bed of snakes. Like that little old boy sitting there going to go fishing. Got down there and went to digging worms. Wasn't worms he had, though. It was little baby rattlesnakes. Those little baby rattlesnakes bit him, biting him so small with their little old fangs that he hardly could feel more than a sting or a twist. And after the first bite or two, it numbed his hand so that he couldn't feel the rest of the bites, and they killed him while he was playing with worms, he thought. It's happening in the church as we peddle and play and pet on things that are killing us. Amen. Some, listen, friend. Some, this is point number four. Some will tolerate, accept, and embrace Satan's ministers. Some will tolerate, embrace, and accept Satan's ministers. They'll come to leaven and to have. Verses 14 and 15, I have a few things against thee, because I have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught the Balak to cast a stumbling block for the children of Israel, to eat things, sacrifice and idols, and to commit fornication. So how shall also them there that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate? They teach, listen, friend, this is the teachings of those of the followers of Balaam and those of the Nicolaitans. They teach that there's no real right or wrong. Right and wrong is relative. It's whatever you feel is okay, see? Just follow the inner man. Nakedness and perverse sins are absolutely entrenched in the worship of Baal and from Satan's seat. And my friend, people are still being taught that sexual sins and perversity is no big deal. And it's crept into the church with nakedness and divorce amongst us. Amen. And listen, friend, if you've ever been through that, and some of you have, you ought to say amen louder than anybody and try to keep others on the same page that you've experienced in life to get me to preach to your children so they never have to go through that. I'm telling you, that has destroyed the lives of children and rentals across this country. Fornication and adultery ravaging our land. Homes to my friend be eaten up
And even in churches, homosexuality are being revealed on every side. Well, God, it is the same as the doctrine of those that worship Baal, where nakedness and perversity prevail. We come in the house of God. It begins today by the demonstration and showing of flesh, by revealing clothing. But my friend, that's just the first place the acorn is planted. The mighty oak will grow into my friend adultery and hedonism amongst God's people. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Some will tolerate, accept, and grace His ministers. They teach there's no real right and wrong. They teach that God's Bible is relative and changes with the times. I will say that again. They teach that God's Bible is relative and changes with the times. Therefore, they say the law of the Old Testament no longer applies, and it's okay for us to introduce virtually anything into our lives. These Nicolaitans commonly believe that wives were common property, community property amongst the people that were saved, and that they thought that we were all the same family. Therefore, if I was to go off with another man's wife, as long as what she was a supposed believer, as am I, that the two of us were family, and that it was all right. But God ain't never sanctioned that kind of wickedness and adultery. Amen. God still set up a home of one man and one wife for one life. That's still God's plan. Amen. They promulgated the eating of meat, sacrificed to idols, which was an act of idolatry. They encouraged and accepted and the integration of pagan rites and ceremonies and practices in the church. And yes, we still have a lot of Nicolaitans in the church today that will seek to integrate wrongness, idolatry, and ungodliness in the church house. And God hates those things. He hated it in Revelation 2 and the verse number 15. And He still hates sin today. Still hates sin. He still hates sin. Ungodliness reigning on every side. And most of the time, the church embraces it. We've had our little lock-ins. Not here. Churches across the country have their little lock-ins and bring the teenagers in there and lock the doors. All of them stay all night, the boys and girls. They say, oh, we've got counselors. You must not know how ingenious boys and girls are. You forgot what it was to be 16-year-old. They're a whole lot more ingenious than what you remember that they are. And chances are your kids smarter than what you were. Amen. They unlearned your lessons and picked up some new ones on their own too. Amen. You'll have your little lock-ins. The churches across the country have their little lock-ins. Their little pizza parties all night long with their young people. And wonder why they got illegitimate babies raining all over the church. It's a crying shame and disgrace. Little by little by little, inch by inch, foot by foot, yard by yard, and mile by mile, the devil taking everything we've got. Satan's seat. The integration of pagan rites, ceremonies, and practices into the church. I mean, it's like, my friend, it's not much like our drama teams. And my friend, they'll turn off the lights and put on them black breeches and black t-shirts. The boys and girls pick their clothes off the same rack and get up there and dance around on the stage with the wild music going and the strobe lights are flashing. And they call that worshiping God. And within 1,000 miles of it, more like a disco center or a dance hall. What it is, the church house, and all it is, my friend, is the integration of pagan rites and rituals and ungodliness into the church. It is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which God said He hates. God said He hates. They say if you're saved, that's all that matters. And they can fall off the log and get saved by accident, not even know about it nearly. To hear their doctrine and tell it. But now I'll tell you something. You get saved, something happens, you change your life. Amen. You come no more. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, there's something else you makes you want to love the brethren. Makes you want to follow the commandments of God. But they turned the love of God into lasciviousness and idolatry. And they say, if you're saved, if you've prayed my prayer, then you're saved. And they say, if you've prayed my prayer, then you've said you're saved, and that's all that matters. And now you do whatever you please, and it's A-OK.
And they use the grace of God as a license to sin. It's ungodly and wicked. You can do whatever your flesh desires, they teach, since Jesus paid the price and it's all right. But they say that God will not judge sin. That's an outdated doctrine and a concept that's out of time. That's old fogyism is what it is. But Jesus said, in verse number 16, repent or else judgment's coming. Else I'll deal with sin. Else I'll unleash my anger. Else I'll deal with the wickedness that's taken over, protruding from Satan's seed.
Repent or else I'll come to thee quickly and I'll fight against them with the sword of my mouth, which is the Word of God. That's how he'll fight his battles, is with this book. Please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them to believe. We don't fight with flesh and blood. And our weapons are not carnal, they're spiritual, to pull down strongholds. It's this book we fight with. This is the only hope for America. This is the only hope for my family. This is the only hope for our church. It's this blessed old Bible. Thank God. And I still know what it says. And I still know what it means. And I still believe every word. And I still believe it's right. Hey! And if there's errors in it, how do you know if it's not John 3:16? Amen. I say I believe every verse, including the ones you don't like. Amen. I believe it all. It's the only hope we've got. Repentance means to turn from your way of doing and turn to God's way of doing. I'll repent or perish.
We don't want Satan's seat to take over everything we got. It's time to repent of the little ground he's already took. Get back to serving God. Is that right? Get back to serving God. Jesus said, repent or else. Repent or else. That ought to be the same message we got today. How about your life? I'm not asking you if the Lord took chunks of your property. What about inches? How about your quiet times? How about your prayer life? How about your Bible reading? What about your witness and testimony? How about the way you deal with your children? That's the hardest thing. I mean, all of us want our kids to be popular. Ain't none of us want people to hate our young ones. Is there anybody in here wants the whole world just to hate your kids? Ain't nobody raised their hand to that, would they? Everybody wants folks to love their young ones. But the devil will take an inch at a time from you with your children by you trying to get everybody to like them and not wanting people to make fun of them, not wanting folks to laugh at them. And it tugs at your heartstrings, but it don't make you compromise right. And it don't mean you're helping your kids. It means you're killing them. Things you need to do is teach them right. Teach them it's repentance or it's perish. Oh, God, help us. What about your life? Inch by inch, mile by mile, little by little. She's sinking into your life and setting up a seat. I wondered about it this morning. Verse 17 teaches a lesson to the overcomers. It's time to fight. We can overcome. If we will, there's a table spread somewhere for us where we can eat a hidden manna that the world knows not of. There'll be manna for this journey and a marriage supper over there. There'll be fruit of property deed written in stone. And we'll receive a new name he's chosen for us. Will you press on, weary pilgrim, press on? Will you keep on and keep it on? Will you occupy until he comes? Will you stay on track? Will you stay with this Bible? Will you stay with the old time summers? I just met in the old time Christian. That anything I know, I want to put you on notice. The world on notice. The devil on notice. I don't know where his seat is this morning. But wherever it is, I want him to hear that teaching. And let him know I'm a keeper on until the end. I'm a pressing on until I see the light of hope. I'm a walking on until I hear the gates. I click him behind the heels. I want to hear him say, well done. I want to hear him read my name. I want to hug Greg Morgan. I want to make it home. Woo! I intend to go through. Will you keep on or keeping on? Would you stand with us this morning? I wonder if Lisa Carnell will even need a song of Just As I Am. Seven verses, Is Thy Heart Right With God? Or do you need to just come do business with the Lord today? We ain't going to sing nothing. If you need to come pray, you just come pray. Amen this morning. You need to come do business with God. Seek the face of the Lord. You need help from God for the journey. You need to come pray. You come pray. Oh, God, help these ones coming. And bless, sweet Lord, I beg. God, have mercy on each one. Oh, Lord, help us today.